Betting on sports can be hard, but hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury law firm. They have over 100 offices nationwide and more than 1,000 lawyers. Their fee is free unless they win. For more information, go to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial pound law, pound 529 from your cell phone. That's forthepeople.com/bestbets. This is a paid advertisement.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Ben Wilson, back in for Gil Alexander. Next couple of days, Kelly Bidlin, maybe the single most professional broadcaster that we have at the next. That was impressive what you just pulled off during the break.
I didn't pull it off, though, Ben. I forgot to tag out properly. I was trying to record a promo for tomorrow that runs in between shows, and I screwed everything up except for the time at the end.
If only there weren't ways to pre-record stuff before tomorrow. I don't know.
You know what the worst part is, Ben? Is when you can hear the crew in your ear talking about how you screwed up, man. Come on.
Our crew leaves no stone unturned. They tell it like it is. That's why we appreciate it. There's no, you know, bluffing up with reality. I just appreciate that you waited until like 40 seconds every single time. And you're like, it's almost like the procrastination theory of, You can only do it when you're up against the clock.
Yeah, isn't that broadcasting? We all forget the things we're supposed to do as soon as we go to break. And it's like, oh, yeah, wait, that.
We do. Big thanks to Sobey Bonantoni for joining us in studio in hour one. We have more college football playoff talk with our buddy Chris Felica coming up this hour in a half hour. And we've noticed DraftKings and other books now posting exotic markets for the college football playoff. You have the name the finalist market, which is now out. Georgia, Texas is the short shot at plus 550. How about this? Road wins in the first round under 1.5 is juiced to minus 175, but you can pick exact. If you agree with Stormy, there will not be a single outright upset. You actually get 2-1 on that. Okay. Interestingly enough there, Kelly, one road win would pay you plus 190. And there are also team over under wins, team win totals, which we just started looking at during the break. I think something we need to really dive into tomorrow, especially because there are some fascinating prices. And I'm not sure they're all that accurate necessarily from these opening numbers.
So you know me, Ben, not the biggest college football guy. I am instantly obsessed with this market. Win total set for the college football playoffs because you don't have to be a huge college football playoff guy to know that some of these numbers just feel are a little off. We were batting around a couple, but these are, compare how you want to. We would talk about this all the time. It's not just shop numbers and shop prices at different books. It's shop around within the same book. Is there a way to make the same bet in a better way? And that's what we're talking about a lot with looking at what some of these game numbers are. Compare them to what these win total prices are. And like I said, Ben, we'll dive more of these tomorrow because there is a line set for every single one of these teams. But we were batting around a couple just in the break. And there's, I'll throw one at you. Georgia, we weren't even talking about this one. Georgia's lined at a half win. Remember, they obviously have the bye, but one win gets them over. That's lined at minus 200. What's that money line going to be, price going to be, whether they face Indiana or Notre Dame? You have that answer probably better than I do, but I would think it's north of 200. So if you like them, no matter what the matchup is, that could be a good one. I'd shop around. I think there's some fascinating numbers in here.
And there's also the thought too, you can maybe play around with these teams that have the bye on their win totals. And then also on the flip side, look at the upset markets that we just saw are now out with the road team wins, how those correlate against each other. It is a fascinating exercise and worth the deep dive as we go throughout the week. We certainly will do that here over the next couple of days. How about though, Kelly, we go back. We are continuing our look aheads to week 15 and From what we saw yesterday, I was just picking up here where we left off from last hour. But how about that Commanders and Saints is next up on the list. Commanders off the bye here, but as we saw a number of crazy games yesterday. One of them, which was just crazy because of how awfully it was aesthetically, was the Saints and Giants game. And I don't even know what to describe Derek Carr's attempted run, the somersault face plant I've seen around the world as Derek Carr ends up fracturing his non-throwing hand and assumed to be out for this game. But the Saints get oh so lucky. And how about the two people in Survivor who were on the Saints from 14-3 to 14-11? Giants had a really good chance to win the game. And at the end of the day, they don't even get the field goal to send it to overtime as it's blocked Brian Brisee gets the block to basically bail out just an ugly all-around Saints performance, where special teams was particularly, Kelly, an absolute disaster for the interim head coach, the special teams guy, Darren Rizzi. Yet they did so many things wrong in that game, and yet they somehow suck out with a 14-11 win. Do not cover as 5.5-point favorites. Now they limp back home despite the win to take on Washington. I assume now with Carr out, like, I would have made the game before the week Washington minus, like, over a 3-point favorite, minus 3.5 on the road here. I got to think this is around probably a touchdown, I'm assuming. So. Yep.
Yeah, we're at 7.5 basically across the board on Washington heading in there. So, yes, you are correct above that. I think they're probably a good teaser leg to look at this week as well. I might be adding them in with the Rams that we already discussed earlier. Washington, that is. Yeah, like you said, I doubt we're seeing Derek Carr. I guess I didn't see anything official on that yet. I don't think you have either. I don't think anything's come down on that. But I guess they're not out of it. They're still in this NFC South race. Say they're not. They're completely out of it. But man, it is talking about Carr going down. Taysom Hill already out. Rizzi was. I don't know that I've had mixed feelings on Taysom Hill over the years, but at least seeing a coach that was excited to coach and utilize him was at least fun and interesting for a team that was pretty mediocre. I think we can make the argument in the past, why is Taysom Hill on the field when you're basically taking out your better quarterback to put in a guy like Taysom Hill? I think that argument's pretty valid in the past. But with a team that is as middling as the Saints were, it was fun to potentially see what a coach could really do with Taysom Hill if they had bought all the way in. This game, look, it's going to be shaping up. Washington's going to have some things to play for. This will be either complete pass for me or Washington in a teaser. I'm interested to see where this line runs out to, Ben, because I don't think we're done yet. If it's not going to be Derek Carr, 7.5, I think it's actually going to end up being a little light.
7.5 across the board. And that look ahead was 3.5, but you certainly have to bake in a pretty significant downgrade. Jake Haener finishes the game into the injured Derek Carr. Did you see the chewing out Darren Rizzi gave his punter Matthew Haball in this game? Did you see that was nuts.
I was so confused at first. I was like, what's going on? Like,
on the same field, no less. Remember the Matt Dodge disaster, the punter who was drafted by the Giants. He was supposed to be the next great punter in the NFL, and it was so bad they cut him after a year. And the famous one was he punted a line drive to DeSean Jackson. His time expired in that famous Eagles comeback at MetLife, runs it back for a touchdown. And then just the pure red face, Tom Coughlin, just chewing out his punter. And it was you felt so bad for the poor guy because he had just completely lost it. That's what for Matthew Haball, shades of Matt Dodge, both named Matt, I guess, shades of Matt Dodge yesterday at MetLife. That was for a special teams coach, right? Darren Rizzi, so many gaffes, failed fake punt, 2 missed field goals. Saints get very fortunate. Now catching a big number against a Commanders team who were one of the 6 teams on bye yesterday, latest buys of the NFL season. Now that we're done with the buys, I got to think a good situational spot for Washington. It's just now how much of a premium are you going to be paying for that here?
Yeah.
As we continue, Kelly, other games, we'll try to go as fast as we can. Not sure if we'll get to all of them this hour, but Ravens Giants is another one where we talk about that same game. I'm glad I can at least continue to talk about the Giants here, because the Drew Lock experience, man, 0-for-8 to start. First Giants quarterback since at least 1991 to do that, Kelly. So we're talking all these great Giant quarterbacks of yesteryear, like Davis Webb and Mike Glennon and Jake Fromm and Colt McCoy and Jesse Palmer and Dave Brown and Danny Cannell and Kent Graham. None of them ever started a game 0-for-8, as bad as some of those individual performances were. And it was for the folks who were brave enough to take the 5.5 with the Giants yesterday, you at least got a drive, and you honestly could have won the game, even though this whole upgrade we were all promised, at least the bettors certainly thought that, the upgrade from Tommy DeVito to Drew Lock, there's no upgrade. I mean, I just can't help but wonder how bad must DeVito be in practice if he can't even get a sniff of the field compared to what Lock is giving the Giants in this offense.
Yeah, Giants, you got a quarterback problem, you got a backup quarterback problem, you got a third-string quarterback problem. It's pretty disastrous. Yes, I was left thinking that as well, because I was someone that was, okay, let's not completely say that Drew Lock has nothing in this league, because I don't know if we've seen enough of him yet to make that declaration. Yeah, I've seen enough of him, Ben. I've seen enough of him. You're absolutely right. This is not better than what DeVito's throwing out there really at all. Man, man, you're talking about a 14.5 point spread in this game. Ravens, Giants, one of the best offenses in the league, going up against this Giants team that is falling apart. The defense is maybe the one thing you could have spoken highly about earlier in the year. Injuries mounting up there for them. This one will be a complete pass for me because, I mean, because of the big spread, but this Ravens team, it's often difficult to figure out when they're going to show up and look like the best offense in the NFL and when they're going to look like just a pretty good offense in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, I had this line over 2 touchdowns, not a shock. I felt like all year, though, with these big spreads, just the numbers I do, and it, you know, it's just very basic. It's just, you know, yards per play, EPA per play, run and pass defense. I, you know, factor in, as we all do, the quarterback numbers, and in addition to that, the offensive line, the run blocking, the pass protection. But it always seems like my numbers come way higher on these big, big spread games, mostly just because, you know, the difference we have and really the delta now between the top teams in the league and the teams at the very bottom, it feels really, really wide, as much as the NFL has become just this parity-induced league from week to week. So I have this more like 16.5. The one thing I wonder about is Baltimore's big strength has been the run D, compared to how bad the secondary has been this year, second against the run versus 28th against the pass. So they've really been vulnerable against teams that can actually take advantage of that, move the ball through the air. Giants are not doing that. They are not throwing the ball through the air whatsoever, unless you want to consider, if you want to count the ball off a punter's foot being a ball through the air, because that's about it for the Giants. So it's kind of similar in the sense to that Eagles-Panthers matchup, which was Philly's strength was running the ball against the Panthers' weakness, which is defending the run.
Right.
Yet we saw Philly kind of no-show, and that's the worry here with laying a big spread in Baltimore.
Yeah, absolutely. That would be the that would be the concern for me as well. I was going to try to squeeze one more in, but I guess 20 seconds is not enough time.
We will get to the Cowboys Panthers because we do owe it to Bryce Young and Panther fans and bettors everywhere to give them the due that they deserve, because they almost pulled off the upset of the year. I wonder what that line looks like. Dallas and Carolina for next week. We'll get to that game next. Talk Jets, Jaguars, Dolphins, Texans, Colts, Broncos, Bills, Lions, all still to come here as we look ahead to week 15 right here on A Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Looking to bet smarter? Then VSiN has the perfect holiday gift for you. Sign up on our holiday special today. Get VSiN Pro access to everything we do from now through May 1st for only $79. Sign up today and get unlimited access to daily best bets, plus our exclusive betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, betting guides, and more. Don't miss out. It's limited time holiday offer. VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up on our holiday special. Right now, back with Kelly Bidlin. I'm Ben Wilson. We have Chris Felica coming up in 15 minutes. This is not the traditional guessing lines format you might be used to on a Monday. Gil not here, out for the week, but we're kind of doing our own version here, Kelly, and we'll race through some of these since we have had so much college football, especially to talk about today. But we're trucking through, and again, just hoping to find some lines that maybe we have different than our own numbers or thoughts, where situationally it could be a really good position. And I wonder if Carolina might be one of those teams that bettors really flock to and turn to with how profitable they've been the last month plus. As we go to Dallas and Carolina, Dallas will come off Monday Night Football tonight. And I would have thought I had this Dallas -1 going into the week without having seen Dallas. You certainly continue to upgrade Carolina, though, for how good they look. And we're live to win outright against Philadelphia yesterday as 2 touchdown underdogs. You have the final 2 drives, both end turnover on downs in Philadelphia territory. And Bryce Young probably made the best play. I mean, not to get hyperbolic, Kelly, but that was the best play I've ever seen Bryce Young make at the NFL level. The third down and 11 at his own 2-yard line, where he escapes 3 different rushers in the end zone, finds Xavier Leggett for 31 yards to keep the game going. And I was pulling so hard for them to pull the outright upset, not because I wanted the guy who bet over $3 million at Circa on the money line to lose and for people in Survivor, 11 of them to go out, but just for the story, just for Carolina, for how hard they played and for how properly aggressive Dave Canales was, continuing to go for it for a team that had nothing to lose in that situation. So we're Dallas, you know, if this is like a really tight game tonight, if Dallas looks good, this might be the spot where, especially off a short week, Dallas has been playing so hard. Maybe the wind comes out of the sails a bit here and you get a Carolina team that has been a top 12 offense over the last 5 weeks. They're the ones that actually are the team that can kind of put a damper in this recent Dallas resurgence. But it's hard to say that until we actually see what happens on the field tonight.
Last 5 weeks, Carolina is where? What did you just say?
The last 5 weeks, EPA per play on offense, 12th in the NFL. 12th, Kelly.
It's impressive. It's impressive. I know there's a lot of home games mixed in there, but man, this what Bryce Young is doing right now, look, it's not – this is what's tough, right, Ben? Because I don't know that it's making anybody, any Panthers fans, feel better about what his future is and what it could be in Carolina. But he's playing – like you said, he's playing the best football we've seen from the kid, and he's actually looking like an NFL quarterback at times out there, which is a lot more than you could say could have said for basically the rest of his career. So it's been interesting. I think it's hard to look at any of these Carolina games. That was one yesterday. I wasn't involved in it at all. I don't know about you. Certainly, I didn't have $3 million on a money line or anything. That was brought up enough by – man, Hansen was all over – everybody was all over that bet that was taken here at Circa. This is when they're catching these big numbers, it's got to be look at Panthers or nothing. And now we are. I was trying to look it up while you were talking. Right now we're staring at Bryce Young as a favorite. Yes, you heard it, folks. A favorite in this game against Dallas next week. Now, like you said, that could change a bunch between what we see tonight and when this game actually kicks off. But Carolina, a 1 or 1.5 point favorite,
wow.
Basically across the board. Here, Ben, and as much as I've been scared to bet against Carolina, let's see how the Cowboys look tonight and whether they're still in this, because I might be taking a bit of the Cowboys next week in this matchup.
Yeah, you're certainly in a unique role relative to where Bryce Young has always been throughout his career. I mean, as much as they probably deserve at this point, I mean, at best, you say the two teams, even on a neutral, deserve to be a home favorite in this position. I think Carolina, you know, I know you guys do your risers and fallers every week, your power rankings. I know you don't do your bottom teams, but you know, Carolina's getting out of the, I mean, they've gotten out of the basement for a while. I think I had them team 28 coming into the week. Mm-hmm. They'll be out of my bottom five. I mean, they've really been trending up over the last month. Plus those offensive numbers are just crazy that they are 12th now over the last 5 weeks. And that was coming into yesterday. It was a solid, it wasn't a flashy, but it was a solid offensive performance from Bryce Young, who in defeat goes 19-34 for a 191 touchdown. And a pick there. Continue with our week 15 look ahead lines with the openers now out. We'll do Bills lines here in a second, Kelly. I want to make sure we get to that this segment. But first, Dolphins Texans here with the Texans coming off a bye. Miami gets oh so fortunate. The fact that they allowed 9.5 yards per play in the first half and over 15 yards of completion to a Jets offense that was 29th on offense over the previous 5 weeks. In a sense, it was a pathetic defensive showing, the lack of tackling, the lack of any sort of tight coverage in the secondary yesterday for Miami, but they get it. They get an awfully lucky break. They get by. They needed the fourth and goal touchdown and 2-point conversion, Tua to Tyreek Hill, Tua Tagovailoa to Jalen Waddle to tie the game. Then a huge kickoff return from Malik Washington to set up the game tying field goal to force overtime. At that point, the Jets defense just looked gassed, had nothing left. Tua to Jonnu Smith from 10 yards to win the game in overtime and save four people in Survivor, the same individual who had two entries left, and money line parlays like you and I, Kelly, all over the place, depending on how you bet Miami. But it's weird. Now they've got some life here. They were plus four, just updating the odds here. They were plus 425 to make the playoffs. Now 4-1, still alive at 6-7. I really am tempted to be back on the Miami train simply because this Houston team I've been betting against. And if it felt really negative compared to where the market has been for the better part of the last 6-7 weeks, I just don't really believe in Houston with the lack of an offensive line presence, with the struggles of CJ Stroud, even as receivers start to get healthy. And you always wonder, a team like Miami that was left for dead should have lost. Now they've got a little bit of life. Do you see the better showing from them now that they had the massive scare and they understand that these are all these win and in sort of situations. So I was looking at my numbers before the week and I had Miami a favorite. I know they probably are not. And especially after yesterday, you would think the market would maybe sour a little bit on them with two really uninspiring performances in a row.
Yeah, this is that's interesting to hear where you had them and how you've been approaching Houston, because I think I've been kind of on the opposite side. This opened most, I think this was 2.5 across the board yesterday. We're out to 3 most places. This is a game that I had circled, I don't know, probably 6 weeks ago, Ben, of this was going to be, hammer Houston for me in this spot. But I think everything that you just said about what Houston's been going through, a team that I was very high on preseason, that I've just, it seemingly every week have had to adjust downward just a little bit because of the things you talked about, the offensive line struggles, Stroud struggles, defense being up and down. And this Houston team, I just think, yeah, you don't really know what you're getting with right now. And Miami, I backed them yesterday, but like you said, the past 2 weeks, I think for a team that was still in it and still with some hope at the playoffs and getting guys back and healthy, I expected to see better performances, not only out of them yesterday, but then, I mean, Green Bay, I'd bet the Packers in that game, but I didn't think it was going to be that easy for Green Bay to roll by the Dolphins. So, I'm not too inspired, but I'm kind of with you. I still think there's something there potentially with Miami. So, long way of saying this is going to end up being a big stay away for me. Initial thought was Houston. I think I'd swing more towards Miami as this is hitting threes across the board. But I have a feeling this will be a big stay away for me.
It's a spot, especially indoor track too for Miami. Yep. Granted, Houston off the bye, but still a lot of issues on the Texans side. 28th offensive run blocking, dead last in quarterback pressures allowed for Houston this year. Granted, Miami they just no-showed on defense. They were terrible. Couldn't get any pressure on Aaron Rodgers. It might be some blind faith here, but that is the one position where I believe you get a game Miami performance on the road, especially getting a full three. That's the thing I like the most so far to start the week here with the still alive and kicking.
Yeah,
Miami Dolphins.
I think you got to look over a little bit too, right? Like toad wise, it's just what you see now. Miami's defense, what you've seen. I mean, out of Houston's at time as well. 47 feels a little light. I'd probably be leaning over as well.
And that's the fascinating battle. It's the Miami offense that has. I mean, again, even if they were to have lost yesterday, would not have been on Tua Tagovailoa. Another great passing day, 33 of 47, 331, and two touchdowns. So you have an offense that's been top five trending over the last month and a half. That's part of why, for me, you look at the numbers, and I am so pro Miami. It's just you then watch them and you see just the disdain that they appear to play with on defense. Just no passion or emotion. The last 2 weeks of missed tackles left and right, but the offense, that's the matchup against Houston's defense that has really kept them in a lot of these games and gotten them to the finish line for a team that I'd argue is way worse than their division leading record would indicate. It's just a matter of, can the Miami defense show up here? And we are seeing at least that total here sitting pretty static. There hasn't been one move either way, Kelly, on or off that 47 so far, even though I think one offshore is showing 47 and a half there.
Yep. Yeah, that's where I'd be looking for that one. Yep.
We will still have the big game to come. We will talk in our final segment of the show, the Buffalo-Detroit mega tilt coming up, one of the 425 Eastern games still to come here. Was just looking at, can we do Jets-Jaguars in like a second? I laughed as I did this yesterday and made the Jets -3, Kelly.
Yeah, that's, I believe that's right where they're at. You said Jets 3?
Well,
yeah,
that makes it easy.
It's Jets 3, 3.5, and that is a game just like the Jaguars this past week. I have no interest in watching.
I mean, I feel like a glutton for punishment for watching so much of that Jaguar game yesterday. I might be tempted at the Jaguars. How many more weeks do we get to bet against the Jets? I don't know. Either way, Chris Felica, the Bear, he joins us next to talk college football playoff here on A Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Looking for some action? Our friends at First Bet have you covered. Sign up today to unlock exclusive promotions, plus watch and wager on hundreds of exciting horse races every day from across the country and around the world. Sign up at firstbet.com. That is the number one, stbet.com. And you can use promo code VSiN200 to claim a 20% rebate for your first 60 days, up to $200. Head to firstbet.com today. Still to come, we will talk our opening thoughts, Bills Lions, Packers Seahawks, Steelers Eagles, Kelly Bidlitz. Great game for week 15, but it was a massive college football weekend. We have to get to our man Chris Felica joining us on the Progressive Guest Line. I'm sure, Kelly, you were awfully just enthralled listening to our off-air conversation about the Delta qualifications for a status for next year.
Two big Delta Club big shots. Okay, sorry, it was a conversation I could not be a part of. I'm just not as cool as you two. Okay,
come on. It's not like we necessarily enjoy all the travel. We're used to it. And Chris Felica joins us fresh off a BOI SLC JFK routing from after being there at the Mountain West title game. Chris, how you doing? How did the weekend end up treating you here with the zany college football happenings and the 12-team bracket officially out now?
Yeah, it worked out pretty good from a wagering standpoint. I did not get my Notre Dame to be the 5 seed bet home that I had made on Thursday, as I discussed with Kelly and Gil, and I was a little surprised at some of the seedings there at Texas getting the 5. And I had my fears a couple of weeks ago that this committee wasn't necessarily doing a great job and did not instill a great deal of confidence, and I think those fears were kind of reaffirmed yesterday, not necessarily with the SMU versus Alabama versus Ole Miss versus Indiana type deal. I mean, they're all flawed teams, and I think you can make a very good case and a very likely case and a very probable case based on power ratings and projected numbers and efficiency ratings that Alabama and Ole Miss are better than SMU. But the committee kind of put themselves in a corner last week, just having SMU ranked ahead of both of those teams, where they were telling you that right now they're in. We think they're better than those teams. And they also went out and said that, yeah, we really don't want to penalize anybody for a conference championship game. So it was there for them to basically leave things as is, and they did. And that's fine. I mean, it is what it is. We're going to watch. We're going to bet. The biggest problem I had with the bracket was, how did they put this thing up? How did they rank these teams and say, okay, yeah, this is good. This is right. We got it. You got Oregon, only undefeated team in the country. Number one, you're going to put them in a bracket where they're going to have to face either Tennessee or Ohio State and then potentially beat Ohio State again. Then potentially win that game. If they win that game, you're going to play Texas in the Cotton Bowl in Dallas in the semifinal. And then if you win that game, then we're going to have you go to Atlanta and probably play Georgia for the national championship. Like, remember like in the past few, however many years, like it's been the committee when I was in the 14 system, it was, we're going to go out of our way to like not put the number one seed at a home field disadvantage. Well, they, not only did they do it once, they potentially did it twice. So that was my biggest thing. And then I guess the only other thing back to SMU was, it was clear that SMU was the last team in the field. So like the fact that they were not the 12 seed bothered me, because I mean, Clemson had to be ranked ahead of them because of winning the conference title game, and they won. But the biggest issue was if you're going to put SMU in, you want to have them ranked behind Clemson, they would have had to put them behind all those SEC teams. Then you couldn't put them into, then you kind of pinned themselves into a corner.
No doubt. And Oregon, you look at some of the odds now, just on the to make markets for the title game, Oregon to make is +190 just to get there now with the path that they have. Texas is the one that it's the fascinating now case study, just from the betting perspective, Chris, that you get a Texas team that just luck boxes their way into the 5 seed, and you go from 4-1 to now the co-favorites at +350. I'm sure the general betting sentiment, especially after what people saw last and how Texas had all these opportunities to put away Georgia early, couldn't do it, the missed kicks, the untimely mistakes, end up losing that game. But I can't help but wonder, as these couple of weeks go on until the playoffs start, will we kind of just forget that they are still arguably the best defense in the country, statistically showed that most of the year. And, you know, +350 odds makers are now really making you pay the tax here on getting the 5 seed. But It's funny, we went from this whole stretch of, all right, hey, Notre Dame, Penn State, those teams will be in awesome positions were they to get the 5 and are worthy of these longer price bets, to do we feel the same way about Texas, even if the odds are shorter, when, I mean, the path is as gift of a path as you could have, being 11-point favorites, as we already know, to start things out at home against Clemson.
Yeah, I don't expect them to have much trouble with Clemson, but I think moving forward, you're right. I mean, offensively, they have some issues. You're going to be facing some very good defenses the rest of the way, and who knows if Wisner can get going. And certainly, they were unable to run the ball on Georgia. Quinn Ewers still floats some balls out there. Their defense will keep them in a game against anyone, but it's just hard to be able to like back a single team on that top half of the draw, because I mean they're all going to be basically toss up games in the two quarterfinals there, and then the semi up top there, just with how the bracket went. Like Texas is one of those. Like, I even pointed this out too. Like there's 7 at large teams in the playoff. 3 of them didn't beat a team that's currently ranked. So like to award Texas the 5 seed and kind of, again, look, I know you got to ding Ohio State for losing at home against Michigan, but they still had the best resume of any of those other options for the 5 seed. So I was a little surprised they went Tech. Would I be surprised if Texas were playing in the national championship game? No, I would not. Would I be surprised If they were to lose to the Oregon / Tennessee / Ohio State winner, no, because they'll beat Arizona State. You talked about like Notre Dame and Penn State. Like, I think we were all, I don't want to say we all, I was just kind of questioning how good these teams are. And these would kind of be teams that I thought might be very teams that we want to play against in the college football playoff. But to have that draw now where you've got probably the three weakest teams maybe in the playoff, on Indiana, SMU, and Boise on that side of the draw, like, it really, really opens up. And again, with Carson Beck now off with Georgia and their inconsistencies this year, like, trying to figure out a way to maybe monetize that. Like, is there in those markets, like, is there a way to either play Penn State or Notre Dame to reach the semi and maybe not win it all? Because I know those markets exist, and I heard you and Kelly talking about like over-unders for total win totals. But I think Georgia's going to be hard to beat and hard to deny getting to the national title game. But I certainly would not argue with anyone that wants to say, hey, look at the body of work over the year. This is a team that managed to lose games, be in close games, nearly lost to Georgia Tech, and now they don't have Carson Beck. I totally get it. But I think where they are now, I think they're going to be hard to at least deny getting to the title game.
Oh, let's go Georgia. I forgot I bet him a few months ago. So let's go. Let's go Dogs. Let's go Dogs. Chris, those
better price then.
Yeah, I did. A slightly better price. I think plus +650. So I like it. The we've had the opening round numbers out. Anything jump out to you as a bet in these first wave of games that we're going to
get? Yeah. I bet two things, and I think the numbers are still there. Maybe you lost a half a point on Indiana Notre Dame. I played under 51.5. I think 51. Still available, so that's fine. Look, we saw Indiana against the only two teams with the defense worth anything all year long, Michigan and Ohio State, absolutely manhandled them. They struggled to run the ball on either team at 150 yards in the game against Ohio State. Now you're going to go to Notre Dame, who's a defensive-minded team, and they're going to be looking to kind of run the ball with love and control the clock and keep IU off the field. So I played under 51 in Notre Dame. And I played under 47.5 with Tennessee, Ohio State. I'm pretty sure that number is still out there in places. Like, the Ohio State offensive line is a big issue, certainly going against the Tennessee defensive line with Pierce. That's certainly the strength of the Vols team. And I think going on the road, I would expect Tennessee to struggle with Ohio State. That pass rush, we saw Tennessee go on the road in Georgia, really struggle to move the ball for much of the game, struggle to move the ball at Arkansas. The game against Vandy in Nashville was really the only time they've gone on the road and actually looked good offensively. But I think they're going to give Ohio State's offense some problems, and I think the flip is very very likely. I'd be stunned if either team got to 30 here, and me might not even be in a game here where both teams get to 20. So I played under 47.5.
Yeah, Fox's Chris Felica with us right now on a numbers game from the Bear Bets pod as well. Follow him at Chris Felica. Before we let you go, Chris, is of these four dogs, you have a very good sense in general for what ends up kind of being like that public square dog side that everybody mm-hmm. talks themselves into. I mean, I think our first glance, we probably think Tennessee simply because so much negative sentiment on Ohio State. Do you feel the same way on that of the four?
Yeah, I think that's probably right, just because the SEC – and they do have a good quality win over Alabama. The defense will travel, and the last impression that we saw is certainly not a very positive one from what we saw from Will Howard and that Ohio State offense and that offensive line. So I think Tennessee probably will be that public dog. It was funny, Will Hill asked me last night on the Should Have Bet More podcast, like, which one did I think had the best chance of pulling upset? It's probably SMU, just because they do have some pieces on offense to move the ball, and we saw Oregon with a similar type of offense. To kind of spread dual threat quarterback. We saw Oregon really gash them and were unable to stop them. So SMU might be the one I take a shot on the money line.
As an 8.5 point dog right now going to Penn State. Chris, always a pleasure catching up with you, sir. We'll talk with you again soon. Thanks as always.
Great. Take care, Ben.
All right, we have one more segment still to get to. As we thank Chris Felica for joining us on our Progressive Guest Line. Major NFL matchups. Get to our G-Bank Best Bets as well on the other side as we wrap up the Monday edition of A Numbers Game.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Wrapping up the Monday edition of A Numbers Game. Still so much more to come on a loaded Monday of reaction around the network. It is Money Move, Stormy Bond and Tony, Jeff Schwartz coming up right after us here at noon Eastern. Stick around for Prop Points with John Hansen. 2 p.m., Make It Rain with Adam Schein. 3, 2, 4 Eastern. And we've got a few more NFL games to get to as far as our thoughts. We didn't get to all of them today since we wanted to get a lot of the college football reaction as well, but certainly still some marquee matchups we've got to talk about. And let's get to Buffalo at Detroit, which is arguably the game of week 15, with Detroit off of that that wild 34-31 Thursday night football win over the Packers, where they either push or do not cover 3.5 point half point favorite spread there against Green Bay. Buffalo off of the 44-42 loss at the Rams yesterday is 3.5 point favorites, where if you would have told us before the game Bills would have 8.2 yards per play, Josh Allen would have over 400 total yards and 6 touchdowns, and that they would score 42 points, you would just say, how much did they win by? Not even a question of did they cover or did they win the game, but just an unbelievably horrible performance by the defense. Could not get the Rams off the field, and the mismanagement by Sean McDermott at the end of the game. I know that might have been a minor thing, but even Tom Brady is able to distinctly point out that you just made an incredible coaching gaffe by burning a timeout when you had all three left. I mean, to sneak in that situation and then not just to get up right to the line again and sneak one more time when you're at the 6-inch line, that was pretty brutal from Sean McDermott, who has been solid this year all the way around. But it seems like he's good for like 1 to 2 really, really bad in-game decisions a year, Kelly. And that was one of them, because it really put like Buffalo had a really good chance to get the ball back there, would have been down by 2. And that game certainly was not over, but a big misplay there in the final minute.
Yeah, like you said, it feels like it's been a while since we've talked about McDermott screwing up one of these situations, and I think that's just what you get with him from time to time. It is honestly, the team just as a whole just looked kind of like shell shocked that Josh Allen didn't get in, you know what I mean, on that rush. So I'm with you. I think that was the kind of problem there at the end. It was definitely messed this up, but man, Bills, Lions, we've been waiting for this game.
Oh yeah.
This is a tough stretch for Buffalo, kind of putting them to the test. But like you went over with the stats, man, that is, the other way to flip it was way I worded it earlier. What situation did we see the Rams winning and then the odds for MVP actually getting shorter for Josh Allen? That's how impressive the Bills were in the loss. I talked a little bit about this earlier with the Texans. This was a game I've had Lions side circled in this game for a long time. We talked, heard Gil bring this up last week, but Buffalo stopping the run, that is something they still struggle to do. Lions do it better than anybody else out there. I think that's going to be an issue. And then on the flip side though, Ben, I think what we saw this past week, I mean, it was a spot, right? It was the terrible spot, the dreaded spot for Buffalo heading into LA. And how could they possibly perform so well? And the offense looked great, even without a couple of their key pieces. So I've got bets side and total on this one, my friend. Lions on the side, stuck to my gun, still bet it last night on the opener. 2.5, but this is actually coming down. There are 2s, 1.5s available on this game now. Not totally shocking to see Buffalo getting some love here early in the week. And I bet it over 52.5. Thinking that was going to be a dumb bet because I'd get a better number at some point this week, but we're out to 53.5 and 54 already most places. So monitor this total. Should be interesting to see where it moves throughout the week, but I'm expecting we get another shootout here in Detroit next week against two of the better teams in the NFL. This could easily be a Super Bowl preview.
And the concern would more than anything just be Buffalo off of that loss. You figure a better defensive performance. I thought the line, the appropriate line would be Lions -3 here going into the week. And you know, numbers wise, I gave the edge there to Detroit, would have made the game 3.5. It's just, you know, Buffalo after just getting destroyed by the Rams on the defensive side of the ball, what sort of adjustments do you see from them now coming back? But it is with the fast track in Detroit, just like we saw in LA, that was a clear point of exposure there for the Bills defense. How does that now play out? I certainly would not be trying to get out in front of that trade and looking under, to say the least, Kelly, on that one. So you're going, so Lions, who 2-point favorites right now in the market, you're going Lions and over out there for that one. We'll sneak in a couple more here before we get to our best bets at the end of the show. Green Bay, Seattle is our Sunday night tilt this week in Green Bay after the aforementioned tight 3-point loss to Detroit on Thursday night. But Seattle, the streak continues. What was more impressive for me than anything, Kelly, in a game where they went comfortably as 3-point underdogs, the market was in love with Arizona. I had Arizona in the contest in the one that uses the Westgate Lions laying 2.5. That one goes down in flames. But this Seattle team that has really struggled to get any sort of push with its offensive line,
yep,
just dominated up front. Zach Charbonnet, 22 carries, 134 yards, 2 touchdowns. Geno Smith, 24-30, 233 in a score. A Seattle team that was 24th the previous 5 weeks on overall offense, had been one of the worst O-lines in football. I have really picked it up over the last couple of weeks now, and the offense was tremendous in that win. Defense also, for the second straight matchup in three weeks against Kyler Murray, really confused him. 2 picks for Kyler led to 17 points in under 4.5 minutes for the Seahawks. And we know it's been a house of horrors for Green Bay over the years, Kelly, as a Packer fan, a lot of negative memories there. So a game I will likely stay out of. I thought this should be Green Bay north of 3, especially with the situation coming off of a tight game where they were live, arguably had really good opportunities to win the game against Detroit. And I mean, to me, this should be north of 3. I think I made it 4.5, but that was before yesterday. And you have to continue to upgrade Seattle with how well they are trending under the rookie head coach, Mike McDonald.
No, you do. You do have to continue to upgrade them. Seattle was a team I was pretty high on preseason. I think a lot of what we're seeing now, Ben, is a lot what I thought we were going to see earlier in the season. This is just taking a little longer for this team to come together. I think the defense, especially on the defensive side of the ball, right? You expected that with the hiring of McDonald, that this defense was going to get better. The offensive line was always the big question. Before the season, the beginning part of the season when they had injuries to deal with too, and it was dreadful. I'm with you. That was the biggest surprise to me of yesterday in that game, was how much of a push they had up front. But this team starting to click is not too shocking to me. But man, I still like the Packers. Sunday night, this Packers team, when we talk ceiling, they got one of the highest in the NFL. I think this is a team that they put it all together. They could make a pretty deep run here at some point. So this game opened everywhere under 3, Packers under 3 on the road. I don't think anywhere was hanging a 3 yesterday. We're pretty much out to 3 everywhere now. The 2.5 you're seeing on your screen if you're watching at home, circa last 2.5 I'm seeing on my board here, juiced at -120. I laid a money line with Packers on the opener. I think we're catching Seahawks at a little bit of a high. Like how the Packers team is playing, do like them heading into Seattle. But man, this is another massive game for the NFC West. I've got some Seahawks futures in play, so a little bit of a hedge, I guess, in that perspective. But man, big game we've got on Sunday Night Football. Can't wait for.
And you also wonder situationally for Seattle off of, and you think about the last, 5 games for them, overtime against the Rams, crazy comeback to save the season against the Niners, 2 wins sandwiched against Arizona, sandwiched around that comfort behind win against the Jets. It's all been tight games for Seattle. Packers with the rest edge. You favor that situationally. Now, and Seattle does have a little bit of breathing room now. I wouldn't say it's not comfortable by any means, as they've gone to 8-5 here. They are -110 favorites to win the NFC West there. Green Bay, it's also telling, too, when you have a team like Seattle that was so dominant in a division matchup, and yet the early market move has been against them here, out to those 3, Kelly, like you were mentioning. I will sneak in one more here, Pittsburgh and Philadelphia, where the Steelers, as we already talked about, they do win and cover 27-14. Eagles still had 6.7 yards per carry. They exploited their edge against a bad Panthers rush defense. It was just everything else. It just felt no-showy. It just felt super lollygagging for most of that game for Philadelphia. They got the stops when it mattered late in the game. But in retrospect, it seemed clear they were kind of in that, let's just get through the game, look ahead to next week. I certainly believe Philadelphia should be nearing a touchdown favorite in this spot. And
really?
I don't think they're anywhere close to that. Yeah, I really do. I have them 6.5 here.
Okay, yeah, we're seeing 4.5 market-wide basically right now. This opened a little bit less than that. And if 4 or 5, depending on your shop, we're pretty much 4.5 everywhere now. I'm a little surprised to hear you say this. Steelers fans, I know you've been on us basically this whole season. I could only take the Steelers here if I was going to play this game, Ben, but it will be a pass for me.
And I get it. Mike Tomlin is an underdog. Where have we heard that before? Pittsburgh and Philadelphia, the 6.5 point, the potential spread, you always dock that because of what we just talked about with how good Tomlin has been in that situation. So sitting kind of in that no man's land for right now. As we wrap up the show, time to get to our best bets. As always, brought to you by GBank, official bank of Visa. GBank Visa signature card, your best bet, delivering 1% cash back rewards on eligible gaming transactions, 2% cash back rewards on all other eligible purchases. And Kelly, you've got a couple other bets to throw in the chamber. I did mention Clemson, Texas, my early college football playoff bet, looking under 52 for that tilt, Kelly.
Yeah, nothing in college football for me yet. I know that's going to surprise a lot of people out there. NFL, though, man, more openers for me bet this week, Ben, than, man, I don't know, it's been a month or something like that. Lions laying 2.5, Bills and Lions over. Broncos laying 4.5. That's like 4 everywhere now. Packers money line. And then Tyler Hero, most improved player.
Nice. Let's go. Tyler Hero, why not? We'll talk more about the NBA tomorrow, because we have the NBA Cup quarterfinals tomorrow. But for Kelly Bidlin, I'm Ben Wilson, saying so long on this Monday edition of A Numbers Game. It's Money Moves coming up right after this.